Committee. And the first bill that is before us is Senate File 2775, Senator Foley. Welcome.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. Delighted to be here. And I think you have a bill that's an amendment. Is there someone would be kind enough to introduce that?
I'll move the amendment. Senator Sharon moves the A5 amendment. Any discussion? That's an author's amendment, yeah. I take it. Yeah. All those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion prevails. Senator
Thank you,
Foley.
Madam Chair. What we have today is a thing that, an action, if you will, that came to me from the city of Brooklyn Park, which is one of my constituent cities. But this isn't limited to Brooklyn Park. It's I also heard from Minneapolis, from Champlin, and this morning I ran into a bunch of firemen, and it's a major concern in the fire service. But what it is the abandoned housing that's around now due to the problems in connection with financing and so forth. And there, what has happened is that a significant number of these folks have moved away from their house, just abandoned it. And so we have the house sitting there, and a variety of things happen, and some of those relate to individuals, and others are just problems that arise from normal action. And I'm going to give you my right-hand man here, Robert Shire from Brooklyn Park, and he will tell us some of the incidents that you have. And we also have some I've only got a set here, but I'd like to have pass this out. And
okay, welcome, Mr. Schreier.
Yeah. Madam Chair, members of the committee, thank you for inviting me here to just talk about the importance to cities of this particular bill.
Perhaps you could just introduce yourself for the record.
I'm Robert Schreier, and I'm Director of Community Development, City of Brooklyn Park.
Thank you.
Okay. During this past winter, Brooklyn Park has had 25 burst pipes where water damage was done to vacant homes due to utility shutoffs that we were not aware of. We also, due to the foreclosure situation that's happening in Brooklyn Park, we have 900 foreclosures. We also have an aggressive code enforcement effort that we work with the water utilities that we find many more vacant properties that we were not notified, and we were able to turn the water off at the street. Yeah. But it would be very helpful if there was a system in place like this bill is talking about, whereby we could get some notification or some contacts with the utility the utility companies that when heat is going to be turned off, that the cities can find out about it, and then we can go out and turn off the water out on the street. This also kind of creates a blight in the neighborhoods. A lot of times our water crews are out there turning off the service, and the neighbors come out and have a chat with our people, accusing the city of you know, not keeping up on things. By the way, that one house that looks fairly expensive there, that those pipes burst in that house, and most likely that house will have to be totally redone and gutted because water got in the insulation and it'll be a mold in there. So appreciate being able to testify. We would just, on behalf of all cities, would like some notification.
Thank you. Is there anybody here to testify before or against this bill? Okay. Anything further, Senator Foley?
Madam Chair, you might indicate who participated in the discussion in this, representing the utilities and others. The reason I bring that up is that under existing law, there's concern about privacy data, and that they need an authorization to make that connection, so that the utility isn't going to be penalized for that.
My understanding on the House side, Representative Nelson, who I believe is the House author, had a number of discussions with representatives from the utility companies, and if there's any utility companies here, they can probably address those better than I can.
Okay. Anybody that wishes to address that issue? Okay. I think we're, if not, we can move on the bill. Is there a Senator Sparks moves
Chair.
That Senate File 2775 as amended be recommended to pass and re-referred to Judiciary? On that motion, any discussion? All those in favor, please signify by stating aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion prevails.
Thank you.
Senator Rosen, 2949. Can.
But you want your pictures back?
They're nice.
I may be rushing us along, but a session will resume at 4 o'clock, so we have to try to get as much done as possible by that time.
Madam Chair, I do have some handouts.
Okay. Do you want to go get those?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Senate File 2949, members, is basically the Minnesota Micro Energy Loan Program, which would authorize $20 million in state revenue bonds. And the proceeds from the sale of these bonds would be appropriated to long-term, low-interest loans to local units of government. The loan proceeds would support community and neighborhood projects and provide financial assistance to individual homes and business owners to install technologies, specifically dealing with solar, wind, geothermal, biogas, and microhydro. But before I go into the basics of the bill, I'm passing out the Next Gen Energy Board strategic vision. And the Energy Board, the Next Gen Energy Board, was a result of all the energy initiatives that was passed last year and came out of the Next Gen Act. And we've been meeting over the summer and the fall and came up with our strategic vision. I do sit on that board. And so if you just take a look at it, at the vision, all these bullet points point to this Senate File 2949. So just to recap the technologies, they would include solar thermal water heating. And Madam Chair, I can't help but be excited about all this stuff. So it really is fun to talk about the direction this bill is going. It would also include solar electric, small wind up to 250 kilowatts, geothermal heat pumps, anaerobic digestion gas, and microhydro system up to 70 kilowatts. And I can't believe I am excited, but it is exciting to talk about this. The criteria for the loans would have to be, they'd have to be dispensed geographically throughout the state. They'd have to have a diversity of technology. There'd have to be an integration of the proposal with the conservation and the energy efficient programs of the electric and the national gas utilities throughout that area. There also would have to be a quality and cost effectiveness of the resource and the technology. The proposed security for the payback of the loan has to be considered. The loan must be issued at the lowest interest required to recover the cost of issuing the loan. And there has to be a minimum of 15 years unless a shorter term is necessary to attract the bond purchasers. These bond proceeds would be credited into a special account in the Office of Energy Security that's called a Special Local Renewable Energy Initiative Revenue Bond Proceeds Account. I told Mr. Bull that we need to get a different name for that. And with that, Madam Chair, I'd like to turn the meeting over to Mr. Bolt.
Welcome, Mr. Bolt.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Senator Rosen. I'm Mike Bolt with the Minnesota Office of Energy Security at the Minnesota Department of Commerce. And this proposal, as Senator Rosen points out, is entirely consistent with the direction and the strategic vision of the Next Gen Energy Board and a bunch of the activities that we've undertaken at now the Office of Energy Security over the past few years, where community energy, local energy, is really a cornerstone of the our energy policy, local benefit, local opportunity from energy production, starting with the farmer-owned cooperative ethanol plants from a number of years, and then through community wind, and now we're focusing also on the smaller facilities. Those were all utility scale proposals we've talked about in the past. Now these we're looking at incenting and helping to buy down the cost of facilities for individual homes, businesses, neighborhoods. And I think the one thing that I'd like the committee to know is that I think you're hearing from your constituents on this as well, but we're hearing from them too. There's a huge demand out there for everybody, that folks want to be involved in and have an opportunity to participate in this renewable energy economy that we're in. And one of the examples that I wanted to raise to your attention, we knew we have a solar rebate program to help buy down the cost of solar PV panels, solar electric panels for homeowners. It was refunded last year in the budget bill and provided $1 million over the biennium. We knew it was going to be successful program, a popular program. We didn't have any idea it was going to be this successful. It's the first year's funding is already has already been used up in the first 6 months of the year. So that gives you a sense that this is a very popular a program, and that we want to expand it through the use of these microenergy loan proceeds.
Mr. Bull, I note that there's segment here that says it's not a general or moral obligation on these bonds, it's their revenue bonds. But can you explain on line 3.15 other revenues pledged to the payment of the bonds?
Madam Chair, this was language that the Revisor's Office and the Department of Finance put together to make sure that we had the fact that these are revenue bonds. We need to make sure that bondholders are paid back. So they wanted to make sure that the primary focus of the payback and the security of the bonds for the revenue bonds is the payback of the loans. So I'm not actually sure to answer your question.
Okay. Well, I'm being advised by our legal counsel it's boilerplate language. So,
yeah, Madam Chair,
I will accept that. And you're assured of the marketability of these loans?
Madam Chair, we will, working with Department of Finance, we will first do a market test to find out we want to make sure that before we go to issue bonds, that there is a market. We'll both test the saleability of the bonds themselves and the attractiveness of the loans to local units to make sure that there is a market before the Department of Finance goes to sell any bonds. So, yes, ma'am.
And there's just some unclarity in the first section about whether these funds go to the local governments, and can the local governments use it themselves, or do they loan it out to other small projects?
Madam Chair, the intent is that they could do either, that the loan is to the local government to use for the purpose of installation of these renewable energy, micro energy installations, they can either use it themselves could use it on public buildings, but more likely, I think they would want to use it to business parks and that sort of thing, neighborhood installations, or they could go ahead and use it and give it directly out to small businesses and homeowners in their jurisdiction. One of the things that the tensions I think that you're seeing is that we want to make sure that this program is as flexible as possible to allow local units to design programs that fit their jurisdiction and their needs, their renewable resources in their jurisdictions.
You might want to be more explicit in the language, though, as it moves on to the next committee. Maybe you can come up with some language to make it more explicit.
Absolutely.
Maintaining your flexibility, though. Okay.
Very good.
Any other questions or comments? Senator Dahl?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a really quick question from Mr. Bullitt. You had talked about the solar rebate. I'm assuming that the appropriations for that $20 million is you're going to expand that fund then, because you said it's been already expended after 6 months.
Madam Chair, Senator Dahl, we have another year of funding that doesn't start up until the beginning of next fiscal year for the specific solar rebate program, and that's a state-level program. What this program will do is to allow to provide funding to local units so they can develop their own programs for solar or solar thermal or geothermal or small wind.
Okay. Excellent. And, Madam Chair, just to follow up again,
Senator
on this
Dahl.
Point, so I kind of understand the popularity of this program, $1 million was expended in 6 months. Can you kind of give me how many participants, and then were they just residential only, or was a mix of maybe some commercial, small business or something doing that?
Madam Chair, Senator
Assistant
Dahl.
Commissioner Bull.
To be clear, the appropriation was for $1 million for the biennium, $500,000 for this fiscal year, and that $500,000 was used up in the first 6 months. But your question reminds me that I provided the committee this table, which has actually probably too much detail. It's a status report of all the appropriations and studies that were required on energy issues from last session, and updates you as to what the status of those studies, the appropriations, and what's gone on since then. So, and if you'll turn to page 3 of that, there is some detail on this solar PV program, and actually doesn't provide the answer that you're to the question you've asked. But it has been primarily used for homeowners with a small number of small businesses that have been.
Thank you.
Senator Jungbar.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I was just wondering if Senator Rosen could describe to us the anaerobic digestion process so we know what we might be funding here.
Madam Chair, that's not fair. we know there's
Senator
only probably
Rosen.
One person in this room that could do that.
I'll give you the day off on that one, Senator Rosen. You can go do your studying things.
Okay. Our legal counsel has a question about some of the description of some of the language in here, so I'm going to turn it over to John Fuller.
To keep your members out of control.
Mr. Bull, the reference to the Office of Energy Security appears inappropriate. I just want to make sure. I know that's been created by an executive order, and my understanding is that order will lapse at the end of the governor's term, and that this office isn't anywhere in the statutes. And I just want to make sure you're comfortable with it. I see there's a $20 million appropriation to the office. Are you comfortable and secure in the fact that that's the appropriate reference now, or should we refer to the Department of Commerce and let the executive order just work however it works? Because this is an ongoing program. So we're in that transition stage where we don't know whether the legislature is going to ratify this or not. And and so whatever works, I guess, is what I'm asking in the long term. Have you thought that through or got an opinion as to what's the appropriate terminology to use?
Assistant Commissioner.
Madam Chair, this was a sneaky way to get the legislature to ratify the creation of the office. No. Is this on? Excuse me.
So
Madam Chair,
that's what it is.
Council
Assistant
Fuller.
Commissioner.
I think it would be our preference to reference the Office of Energy Security, but we'd really leave that to the legislature to decide how they'd want to carry that forward. If they'd want to, if you want to make the change, that we would not object.
No. That's a joke.
Okay.
All right.
Craig Johnson wanted to be recognized.
We all recognize him.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. My name is Craig Johnson. I represent the League of Minnesota Cities. Wanted to make brief comments. I'm very grateful for Senator Rosen bringing this bill forward. It is something that my cities do need. I can tell you in the last couple of weeks, I've had at least four phone calls from city officials who are interested in moving forward, recognize the challenge that the legislature has put forward for local governments to start taking the lead on energy efficiency, energy conservation, and renewable energy projects, and really are short on tools to do that. They don't have capital to start the projects. They don't have, in some cases, the knowledge of which project is the right one to start on, and they certainly could use some direct connection to the other programs, both in the Department of Commerce and, as this program does, ties them into the SIP programs through their local utilities to get these projects underway. So we feel this would be an excellent proposal that helps cities to finance these types of projects. I'm happy to answer any questions I can.
Thank you, Mr. Johnson. Questions? Senator Jungbauer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Johnson, you kind of brought up a good point, and maybe Mr. Bolt can answer this. How would a local unit of government know what might be the right project that fits for their constituents?
Mr. Johnson.
Is there help?
Mr. Chair, Senator, there's a number of ways. One is that many of our cities already work with, for instance, providers that advise them on heating and cooling systems with their buildings, what might work better, what might not. Most of them have very good relations with their utilities, or they have a municipal utility, so they have some people who can talk to them about energy efficiency programs and also renewable energy sources that would be appropriate to the energy demand of their particular facilities. Other than that, we really do rely on contact with both the utilities that provide SIP programs and with the Department of Commerce's programs to get technical advice. Of course, there are vendors that sell geothermal systems or solar systems or wind systems that also provide technical assistance as part of their contract for service. But all of that requires capital up front to get the project underway, and that's what this provides.
And Mr. Chair,
Senator Rosen.
Thank you. Senator Jungbauer, we're also what's great about this initiative, this loan program, is that the other different, like the Economic Development Authority, the EDAs of these local units, the housing development authorities will all become very active, and they do also know what's going on and the projects. And I'm just, I could just speak specifically for my district. The EDA is very, very active in all these renewable energy projects. They seem to go right to that office and search out advice and funds and any direction to go. So.
Mr. Chair, follow-up question?
Senator Jungbauer.
And this question to anybody that could answer it. I do a lot of traveling around and have looked at a lot of LEED certified buildings, and a lot of new technologies have been out there. And one of the things I guess I'm kind of wondering in terms of financing some of this, Chicago has the first LEED certified retrofit building that they did for the city of Chicago, and it had a type of geothermal that I've never seen in Minnesota. But it was exponentially cheaper than the stuff I know is available in Minnesota. And I'm wondering if the office or anybody is out there actually pursuing what's been available in other parts of the country to actively get vendors to come in and show and hopefully sell some into Minnesota.
Mr. Chair, Senator Jungbauer, one of the to question specifically, we have a geothermal report that's due in just a few weeks, actually, that was ordered last session. There's an update here to about the economics and the status of the technology, and we'll have a report specifically on that question. On our ongoing rolling basis, we do have a lot of really smart people at the department at the Office of Energy Security that stay pretty pretty darn current on the status of technology and work at it.
Senator Jungbauer.
Well, Mr. Chair and Mr. Bull, I guess that always begs the question. We say we have a lot of really smart people because we always get told that we never pay enough to people at the state level to get those really smart people. They always go out into regular industry. So maybe you could tell us if we need some more money to make sure we have the right smart people there or how.
Mr. Bull.
Mr. Chair, Senator Jungbauer, I think our really smart people would tell you that we need more money, but I think as a general rule, we're pretty well funded and very well, I think, pretty well staffed.
Thank you.
Very experienced set of folks, and actually have been able to attract new people to the department to work on these issues as well.
Senator Jungbauer.
And just a follow-up comment is that I hope that you guys are looking at what's available in the rest of the country, because that's kind of the thing I've seen from, New York, D.C., Chicago, Arizona. The technologies that are available in one state don't seem to follow to another state, so people are kind of struggling on this energy efficiency thing because people aren't talking back and forth about what's working in different areas of the country that might have some overlap, and I think that's where we really springboard into the next generation of energy-efficient buildings is to be able to share all that data and technology. So,
absolutely,
Mr. Chair, I might comment too on that. That's so true, Senator Jungbauer. I think the collaboration that perhaps a bill like this would entice there are technologies out there. There's great thinkers. There's already initiatives and funds that we can all pull together. We just don't have the capital, and that's why I'm excited about this loan program to spearhead this and keep this momentum moving and use the resources that we have, and not just in greater Minnesota, for all over. I mean, there's some wonderful ideas out there. We just need to give them a nudge, mm-hmm. get them going.
Well, I know that Burnsville is wanting to move forward on a lot of sustainability issues. They've kind of made a pledge to do that in my district, and I think this program would go hand in hand with the initiatives they want to do. Assistant Commissioner, I wanted to ask you on the microloan process itself, though.
Yep.
Let's say Burnsville wants to take part of this. How specific do they have to be on their proposals? Do they have to have things lined up with a specific company or, a project? How detailed does that have to be?
Mr. Chair, we're not thinking that it has to be to that level of detail, but I think what the process will be is that we'll issue a request at least once a year, depending on it. We'll issue a request for proposals and get a sense from the municipalities, local units that want to participate, what kinds of programs they're looking at. And we will have a selection criteria that we'll make available within that RFP so that they'll know what target they're shooting at.
Okay. Well, thank you. Okay. Any other questions?
Mr. Chair, not to prong this, but I wanted to make this point while Senator Dibble is in the room, is that this program, one of the criteria will be for selection is how well these microenergy generation projects and programs are integrated with the local utilities conservation energy efficiency programs, because we do want to use this interest level that everyone has on the generation side for renewable energy and leverage that help promote energy conservation, energy efficiency programs as well. So I wanted to suck up a little bit. And,
Senator Dibble?
You did. Well,
thank you, Mr. Bull, doing a fine job. Fine American. No, I think Mr. Bull is picking up on, how I have said before, there's not a huge distinction in my mind between micro-energy distributed, site generation and efficiencies, kind of the same thing. But we do make the distinction for whatever reason. So mm-hmm. I'm glad to hear about the integration. That's great. Thank you.
Other comments, questions?
With that, Senator Mr. Rosen. Chair, I would like to move that Senate File 2949 be recommended to pass and refer to
Finance.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Rosen moves Senate File 2949 be recommended to pass and referred to the Committee on Finance. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries.
Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I also have before you Senate File 3311. This is the propane pre-purchase bill. And if you remember, several years ago, Senator Metzen and I worked on this bill to require that the Department of Commerce use a portion of their LIHEAP money to buy early propane and buy it when it's historically at a lower price. So now this bill would encourage the department to use available LIHEAP funds for pre-buy. And we have an oral amendment, Mr. Chair, that before you, the bill says on line 1.9, it says right now must hold over at 5%. I'd like to delete that and put it in its place up to $4 million. So that
dollars.
$4 million, excuse me. Yeah. That sentence would say, Mr. Chair, the commissioner must hold over up to $4 million of a year's federal low-income home energy assistant appropriation for use in the next year to pre-purchase propane. And then, Mr. Chair, on line 14, delete the word each and make the word agency into agencies.
All members get that?
I'd like to move that amendment.
Senator Rosen moves that oral amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. Senator Rosen.
Thank you, Chair and members. Well, basically, Mr. Chair and members, this bill can extend our federal LIHEAP dollars to low-income households. And unfortunately, a low-income household is many of the constituents I serve and many other people in this room. And they use very expensive home heating fuel. So we're asking the commissioner to hold back up to $4 million of the LIHEAP for the use of next year's pre-purchase program. If this is on line 17, if the funds are not used for pre-purchase, they can be used for low-income home energy assistant program. I have with me Mr. Chair Pam Marshall from Energy Sense, and she'd like to. And Mr. Chair, before I turn it over to Pam, this has been a bill that we worked on very hard with Energy Sense and the Department of Commerce, and this is a deal they've come up with, and I appreciate the work from Deputy Commissioner Garvey and Pam Marshall, and I just want to say thank you to both of you.
Commissioner to the AG, nobody's answered. Excuse me for a moment. I guess we've got a call from the Senate Majority Leader that we want to go back into session for a few minutes, so is it possible we could hold Pam, hold you over for a little while till we
hold
do our
thought.
Business and hold that thought, unless it's from brief comments, and then we can.
Mr. Chair, she said there's no comments. I don't know if there's any questions from the. Yeah,
okay. Let's move the bill. Okay, Senator Rosen moves Senate File 3311 to be to pass and referred to the floor.
Great.
It up.
I renew that. Is there anyone that wants to speak for or against this bill here? All right. Senator Rosen renews her motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carries. We'll recess for 15 minutes.
No. Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and members.
Till 15 minutes after session adjourns.
I'm next time.
I think it's just that the bonding bill must have gotten pushed over.
No, it's just accepted from the House.
You know what?
That happened between last night and will be done in so things are going
during the committee. During the committee, send everybody. We've worked too hard.
I knew that's what it was. I'm saying, no, it's the. Where am I, Senator? They're not on this floor now.
Of course they did.